Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Marmo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, what's up? How's it going?
I'm all right, man. You know, we're having a special episode of Sports Urban Legend. You know, we usually talk about the latest in sports, but we're gonna dive into the biggest SummerSlam moments and matches of all time, in our opinion. But before all we get into that, of course, you know the number is 917-384-189. That's 917-384-189. So feel free to talk about, you know, any topic you like, folks. You know, this is your show. This is going to be the last show of the month because me and Mac, you know, we're going to be going away to different, you know, separate vacations, you know, this month. So we won't be able to do a show this month. So we apologize for that, folks. But we'll be back, you know, the first September back. So, you know, we just want to thank you for the support. And, yeah, but, you know, thank you for everything. But, you know, let's... you know, dive into, before we get to SummerSlam, I also want to talk about, you know, what's going on with the Mets and Yankees quickly. Dominic Smith, he made his debut Friday night as Major League hit, but the person who stole the show was Amed Rosario with his three-hit night, which was capped off by a game-winning home run by the shortstop of the future and the present. When he hit the home run to break up the 6-6 tie in the ninth. And as a result, the Mets won in his debut, Dominic Smith's debut. Tonight, they lost. However, they lost by the final score of 3-1. Steven Matz, you know, he bounced back from a having six horrible consecutive starts, which resulted in an 11 ERA in his past six starts. And had a good performance, but not good enough. The offense was, was non-existent. They only had a home run from Cespedes. I mean, the Mets lead the league in home runs, but they don't have anything to show for it, you know. So basically, it's another lost season. The Mets just traded away Jay Bruce to Cleveland. For a prospect, I think Ryan Rider, I think his name is. You know, there's controversy. Should they have traded with the Yankees? But to the knowledge, Yankees wasn't going to give her anything of value. And then today, before the game, there's rumors that Neil Walker got traded to the Brewers it hasn't been officially announced yet. So we don't know if that deal is official yet. So, when we hear something, we'll let you know. But and then, of course, you got the Yankees. Yankees are battling the Red Sox. Yankees won the first game 5-4, and then they lost the second game 10-5. So, what's your thoughts are going on into, you know, the baseball, the latest in New York sports, in baseball?
Well, as far as the Yankees, you know, we managed to win on Friday night last night. By coming back, winning that game when Aaron Hicks, hit a home run. I think it was a two-run home run to tie the game or cut the lead to one. And then we ended up coming back and winning that game. But today the offense, you know, didn't have it. You know, offense has been struggling since the All-Star break. I don't know what these guys. I don't know what else, these guys can do. You know, maybe they need the Starlin Castro to come back, give them a little boost. You know, maybe they can get Matt Holliday back, and so he could hit and help this team. You know, right now it seems like they're missing something, you know, offensively. And the pitching, you know, right now we have some issues with our pitching. We have Tanaka going on a DL with a shoulder injury. Sabathia has been pitching his last few starts. He hasn't looked that good. And today, Severino, who's supposed to be our ace, he didn't have a good game today at all. Didn't have any command. Wasn't throwing the pitches that he should have been throwing. And we end up getting blown out 10-3. So maybe tomorrow we could salvage this series and win the game tomorrow. You know, right now we're 4.5 games behind the Red Sox in first place. We're still leading the wild card right now, but you know, if we could win the division, that would be even better. So, yeah, the Yankees just have to, you know, find that offensive groove that they were in the first half, in the beginning of the season, and Judge is still struggling right now. So, I don't know, man. I don't know what else the Yankees can do, but they got to get things going.
You're absolutely right. You know, the Yankees are in the hunt of the playoffs, man. They definitely got to right their ship. And, you know, basically, yeah, they got to hit better. You know, Aaron Judge, you know, he suffered from the home run derby drought, you know, recently, and you know the whole team needs to, you know, basically wake up because, you know, they're just a few weeks away from September, and that's when the games are gonna count. You know, before October, so they gotta get the acts together as soon as possible. But you know, shifting gears, let's talk about the best SummerSlam moments and matches of all time. Some matches that pop in my head easily is you know, the Wembley Stadium pay-per-view match between Bret Hart and, you know, his brother-in-law, British Bulldog, at Wembley Stadium. That's one.
That's a good one.
So, oh, yeah, absolutely. You got the rematch of the SummerSlam of, you know, the ladder match between Shawn Michaels and Razor Ramon. You got Bret Hart versus Mr. Perfect, you know, for the Intercontinental title as well. You got the ladder match. There's a lot of ladder matches I'm mentioning right now. Rock versus Triple H for the Intercontinental title. That was like 98, I believe, if my memory serves me right. Or was that 97? No, I think that was 97.
I forgot about that one.
97, I think it was. I think so. I think it was 97. Because, yeah, both guys were like battling for the Intercontinental title. This was just before these guys, you know, both became heavy, you know, championship caliber wrestlers. You know, both guys were, you know, part of, you know, Rock was part of the Nation of Domination. Of course, you know, Triple H was part of DX. So, yeah, it was just basically, you know, that was like at the genesis of their rivalry, which they had throughout their whole career. You also had, trying to think off the time, the Brock Lesnar versus The Rock, where Brock Lesnar won his first title.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously,
probably the biggest match of Brock Lesnar's career.
Oh, absolutely. Then you have the Brock Lesnar versus John Cena, where Suplex City
into
the lexicon, where he suplexed John Cena, what, 16 times or so? So,
I think
that was, you know, that was unbelievable. And, of course, you got Daniel Bryan. I'm trying to remember who he defeated. John Cena for the championship.
Yeah, 4 years ago.
And then afterwards, that was the you know, birth of the Authority, when Triple H would screw him out of the winning the title and allowed Randy Orton to cash in, since Triple H was the special guest referee of the Cena versus Daniel Bryan match. And that was the birth of the authority. And, you know, basically, you know, that just started the whole, you know, the whole authority storyline that I'm pretty sure will resurface again in the future when they find some way to get Kurt Angle out of, fire Kurt Angle as a GM and, you know, potentially start a Angle versus Triple H feud again. Trying to think of other memorable, moment that pops in my mind. What were you going to say?
What about Hogan versus Shawn Michaels, SummerSlam 2005?
Oh, yes. Yes, that, right. That was the funny bout. I mean, Shawn Michaels was overselling that one. I mean, that was the only matchup between two legends, and man, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
I know, he really went old school with that one. Like, he really did not want to be in that match at all. I mean, the build up to that match was awesome, you know.
Yeah, I heard allegedly that it was supposed, like, they were supposed to have three matches, right? Allegedly.
Yeah, apparently so.
And supposedly Michaels was supposed to, Hogan was supposed to win that first match. Michaels was supposed to win the second one. I guess the third one, Michaels would win it. But then Hulk Hogan, I guess, pulled out of the deal, and I guess Shawn got annoyed by that, and, you know, he pretty much oversold, you know, that leg drop in that match just to mock Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. And another thing I heard, from what I heard, is that, like, there was supposed to, like you said, there was supposed to be, like, at least two or three bouts between the two. And apparently, after Shawn Michaels was selling it, apparently Hulk Hogan was upset, and he said, you know, forget it. He's not going to fight him again. So apparently Hogan was upset about the overselling, and that's what canceled the potential, the future bouts of them battling each other. And then, you know, that's why they never fought again. And then a memorable moment, you had Macho Man and Miss Elizabeth getting married, you know, even though in real life.
Oh, yeah.
Their real life marriage was, you know, about to end in real life. But, you know, it was a very memorable moment. You know, you could see fans in the arena and at home, and I would assume at home, crying their eyes out, you know, because, you know, they got to see those two icons finally tied a knot, you know. And that was, you know, still when people were, you know, the lines of, you know, storyline and reality was blurred. So, you know, there's still a lot of people who didn't know wrestling was, you know, predetermined, you know what I'm saying? So, it was a great moment. I'm trying to think of another moment in SummerSlam that sticks out to me. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. What other moments pop up to you?
One of my favorite SummerSlams of all time, especially when I was a kid, was SummerSlam 94, Undertaker versus The Undertaker. You know, fake Undertaker versus the actual real Undertaker. And if you guys don't remember, Undertaker was buried by a group of superstars, and he vowed to come back to get his revenge. And in the meantime, while he was away, there was this fake Undertaker going around pretending to be the real Undertaker when the real Undertaker was out. And then when the real Undertaker came back, he challenged the fake Undertaker, and they fought at SummerSlam that year.
Right. Yeah. And then there was Undertaker like having a feud with Mankind and Paul Bearer turned on him and sided with Mankind. There was also Brock Lesnar versus Undertaker at a SummerSlam a few years ago, if I remember certainly right.
Yeah.
trying to think what other ones. There was Brock Lesnar versus CM Punk from a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Also.
That was a good one.
And the Undertaker versus Edge, which resulted in Undertaker chokeslamming him off the ladder and through
a
cage.
That was a good one, too,
And, you know, the ring turned into fire, you know, came out of fire, you know, like, looked like Edge was burning in hell after the match.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of memorable moments.
Another match from SummerSlam 94, Bret Hart versus his brother Owen Hart in a steel cage match.
Oh, right, right.
You know, I always saw that as WWE trying to have that Ken versus Ryu match up, you know, because, you know, Street Fighter was popular during that time, you know.
Right,
so
that's true. That is true. Mm-hmm. So
but that, yeah, that's one of my favorite SummerSlam matches also.
Yeah, there was so many memorable SummerSlam matches, and we're hoping that there's going to be a lot more exciting moments. Hopefully, you know, Shinsuke Nakamura and Samoa Joe could come out as champions. I think that's the only way that SummerSlam could, you know, be on a, have that memorable moment of this year and of all time if they do that.
Yeah.
Bailey, she got hurt. Oh, what did you say? I'm sorry.
No, I was saying, yeah.
And then you got Bailey. Bailey got hurt, so she's not going to be in the match. So I think most likely Sasha's going to take her place. I think Sasha's going to fight Nia, I think, Monday, if my memory serves me right?
Yeah, the winner of that match will determine who goes to face Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, and I think Sasha will definitely win that match and defeat Alexa Bliss for that, you know, for the woman's title. Maybe Bayley might even cost her and finally turn heel, which I don't think Bayley should turn heel, but, you know, they're trying to shake up her character, so I wouldn't be surprised if that happened.
Yeah.
And then, of course, on the woman's side, the SmackDown side, Carmella could cash in on either Naomi or Natalya, depending on who wins. Like you accurately predicted last week, which I think that's going to happen. And should be a great SummerSlam, you know, event. And, you know, I look forward to seeing your show return, IMAC. Return next week, and also, preseason just started. Jets won 7-3. Giants lost their game. I forgot the score. Was it 20-10? I can't remember. But yeah, we're gonna come back next in a few weeks, the 1st of September, because we're both having our vacations, you know, in consecutive weeks, separate places. But I want to thank you all, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to this abbreviated version of Sports Urban Legend. I'm William Ramo. He's Macaulay Matthew. And I'll see you guys next week. Peace.